Welcome to the Focused Professional Podcast. This is episode 10, and I'm Joe Lenton. Welcome to the Focused Professional Podcast. Today, we're with Martina Varenfeld. Hello, Martina.
Hello.
And Martina, I'm sure you've heard of. She is well known for taking home plenty of trophies, filling up her shelves with lots of pretty objects, glass objects and other objects that celebrate her many successes. She's also a very well-known and celebrated trainer in photography, known particularly for her fine art portraiture. So, we're thrilled to have you on today, Martina. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here. Like I mentioned to you earlier, you know, don't want to turn down any possibility that we have to talk about our passion.
Quite. Yeah. We're all nerds at heart, really, photographers.
Absolutely.
So you've just come back from Vegas and, of course, with a few more pretty things to put on the mantelpiece. So tell us a little bit about that. What did you win in Vegas?
Well, Vegas was a big surprise this year. It was pretty cool. I came there quite relaxed. So this is the first time that I actually had speaking engagements. And that's been a goal of mine, an especially internal goal that I was like dreamt of being one of those speakers. Because when I came there many years ago, for the first time, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know the industry that well. And I was just utterly alone walking down the hallways, taking classes from big names and getting to know the industry, and also started my competition in Vegas, the whole route of competing. So WPPI has a very, very special place in my heart. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, got lots of longtime friends coming from going over there. So this year, I was so focused on my speaking engagements and I was so thrilled. And also when I entered the competition, because they redid the whole competition for this year.
Yeah.
They've been going through some reorganization. Mm-hmm. And when I entered it in October, I've had some personal issues. I was not in a good space. And I was really not feeling encouraged. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, I cannot not enter. So I got to throw something in there. And I pulled a couple of, you know, things that I believed in. And I made it to the finals with two images. One was quite strong. The other one, okay, not so much. But the one that was strong, because I've been competing with that image a couple of times before.
Okay, yeah.
Throughout the year, both in Sweden and in London. And it got well received, yes. Mm-hmm. But I listen in to, it's not one of those images, because I've had other images where judges rave about it. And this one has been sort of like hit and miss. You know, people go, yeah, it's good, but it doesn't really catch on to everybody. So I was not really confident in that image, but it was okay though. So that's what I'm saying was the biggest surprise, because I was not that nervous, or I should say excited. I was just so much more relaxed this time, because my focus was on the speaking engagements and the training that I was going to do there. So when they came to the award, I was like, it's okay. You know, I'm happy. I'm glad I'm in the finals. That was a big achievement, because they only brought top 10 in each category, made it to the finals. So I was quite happy with that. And I told my friend before the awards night, I think I might have a chance at third place. That might be possible, you know. And if I get a third place in Vegas, I am happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was what I said. And she goes, are you sure? Because she's been seeing me compete before. I said, I'm God's honest truth, you know. I don't even have butterflies. So, and I saw the other images in that category, and it was just, they were really good. So when we get to the awards night, I achieved my double master's degree in Vegas. And before, we haven't really been called up on stage for that. But now they have made trophies for the Double Masters.
Excellent.
So we get called,
Hopefully and a nice big one,
It was a nice big one.
Good.
And I had the opportunity to walk on stage with my dear friend and colleague, Sarah Edmonds. Mm-hmm. And we got up there together, hand in hand. It was just beautiful moment. And we got our trophies. And I told her, I says, yay, this is my only shot of being on stage this time. This night, because in Vegas, only the first place winners go on stage.
Yeah.
You get a trophy for second and third, but you don't get on stage until you're in first place. And I only had a first place win in Vegas one time before, and that was 2019. So they don't come around easy.
No.
And so I'm happy that I got this Double Master trophy. And I was like, yay! I'm bringing home a trophy. That was like the biggest thing for me. And then the category came on. It was maternity. And the category came on. And I sat there. And the third place came up. And that was one of my favorites. And then second place came on. And that was the favorite I had for that category. I thought I was going to win the whole thing. So I was sitting there filming it because I was hoping for third place, right? And then when that came up, I was about to take my camera down and literally reach over to grab my drink because I was done in my head. And then they said, and the winner is Martina Hornfeld. And I go, what? That was my first result. I go, what? No. So I said, I was shaking my head all the way up to the stage. I go, no, no, no. Somebody counted this wrong. It was the weirdest feeling because, you know, entering so many competitions for so many years, you still have that butterfly. You still have that excitement. You still get, oh. But this year, I was like, nah, it's not going to happen. So, the shock was, it was so much fun. The shock was so much fun to experience that you'd be like,
That's even better, I think, when it's like that, rather than when you're sort of on the edge of your seat all the time, wondering, have I got it?
Thinking,
got
this is a good one. This can actually make it, you know, and then you get disappointed. But no, this was a blast. Emotions I felt was a blast.
I imagine.
Really excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, is this, when you enter the competitions like this, is this something that you do because you enjoy that buzz of winning? Is it something you do to help your business? Is it something for yourself to kind of get a feeling for how you're measuring up? What makes you enter these kind of competitions?
What a good question, because there has been a journey of reasons, actually. I started out for actually measurements because I wanted to do workshops. I wanted to do training. And before I started that, I wanted to sort of measure, because I wasn't involved in the big photography communities, the national ones, the international ones. I was just a little, you know, businesswoman, done it for many years, had happy clients down here in my city, and I was happy. But I was like, okay, so if I'm going to go out on a national scale, teaching people about portraiture, how good am I? You know, do I measure up?
Yeah.
So
that's
when I entered the first time in the Swedish nationals, and I did so good that year. I was shocked myself. And then I dared to enter into WPPI the next following year.
Okay.
And I had a few prints hanging in the gallery. So
excellent.
That's how I got started. And it was definitely a buzz. It was definitely an ego thing in the beginning to go, yay, I'm doing something great. And on a personal note, at the same time, we have had some really difficult times. And it's not hard to draw the line between me excelling in my craft as the rest of my life was sort of in turmoil.
Right.
So, because I was really happy at work and I was sort of feeling successful, and I just like jumped. It was like my therapy. Literally. So that's why I think it would just connected with me so hard in the beginning, because my life was kind of chaotic at that time. So I felt happy and relaxed and successful in that area. So that's why I continued. And then I realized that this could be a path to doing more international workshops. Because I was already teaching locally and nationally at that time, a couple of years that went by. And I did Norway and Finland and stuff like that. But I was like, I love to travel. Mm-hmm. I love to see new cultures and meet people. And I love to talk about, like I said in the beginning, mm-hmm. the passion yeah. about photography and the portraiture. And I do bore my clients to death sometimes because I want to tell them why I'm doing this and how I'm thinking. And they're like, yeah, whatever. So for me to have students who are interested, it's happiness for me. Mm. So I decided that, or I contemplated that winning awards will get my name out there.
Yeah.
And so I can have an international audience. Mm-hmm. So people will be, hey, you're good at what you do. You want to come here and talk. Mm. And so the last few years, it's been a career
yep.
thing. Still excited though.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I still get
Absolutely.
Nervous and yeah. I still get the buzz. So it's yeah. a win-win, mm-hmm. but it has been a conscious choice to enter, to build upon my sort of competition degree mm-hmm. and having that being the name pushed out. So now it's working. So now I am, you know, gathering international students for online courses and talking about maybe like just the other day, I had an editing course online and this girl in Romania missed the appointment, but we recorded it, so she's going to get it. So I talked to her yeah. on the phone and I said, I'm so sorry you missed it. It was a misunderstanding. And then she was like, I'm from Romania. I was like, well, I never been to Romania. And then we start talking and she goes, oh my God, I have several friend photographers who actually follows you as well. Uh-huh. And maybe you want to come to Romania and do a workshop. What do you need? And I go, cool, great. I would love yeah. to. And yeah. then boom, that wheel is spinning. So it's working. You know,
that's
I
great.
Love that part.
Yeah. It's interesting how our careers can evolve like that. And sometimes yeah. in directions that we try to engineer and then sometimes in directions we had no idea about what was going to happen.
Yep. Yep.
It's quite bizarre, isn't it?
It's bizarre. And that's one thing that really clicks with my personality. Mm-hmm. I hate routine.
I sympathize with you there. Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I just want the variety. I want mm-hmm. the excitement, the challenges. Mm. And not all the time. I don't mind sometimes just going to work and just do normal stuff as well.
Yeah.
But I think it keeps me interested and it keeps me passionate and it just keeps me happier. And
yeah,
sort of doing
I mean,
the same thing all over.
You seem to have a real passion both for your sort of portrait work that you do for clients, but also for the teaching as well. So you're passionate about passing on your knowledge and your enthusiasm for the subject as well. Have you always sort of thought that you'd like to go into teaching? Have you always had an urge to kind of share what you learn? Are you somebody who naturally, when you get interested in something, you want to tell people about it? Is that how you got into teaching? Or
I just like to tell people what to do.
I see. So it's either you pose like that, stand like that, or no, stick your camera here, put the lights there. Yep. Okay, pure bossiness. Fair enough.
Pure bossiness. I don't know. I never thought of myself. I wasn't a good student, for example. I was a bit obstinate. I was a bit, you know, rules are made to be broken kind of a student. So
what happens if someone does that in one of your workshops then? Can you cope with that?
I encourage it.
Excellent.
I encourage it. Yes. I tell them all the time.
Yeah.
I think my father was sort of a natural, I wouldn't say leader, but mm-hmm. he was like always, if he got involved in something, then he was invited into the board. And then suddenly he was the chairman, you know, because mm-hmm. he was engaging
yeah.
as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the things I inherit from it. I'm engaging as a person. I am engaging with my clients and I am engaging with trainers. And and like I said, I'm passionate at what I do. And I enjoy to see that little light bulb goes off. And I've taken a lot of courses. And I've sat in with huge star photographers and very talented and very good craftsmen. But then I also been overwhelmed because it's so technical and they've mm-hmm. been so perfect,
okay,
so yeah. to speak, you know, yeah. so you sort of get intimidated and, mm-hmm. and you feel like insecure and you lose a little bit of self-confidence sometimes when you go to classes. So what I think that I really enjoy doing is just losing some of their pretentiousness mm-hmm. and just giving them my horror stories about me screwing up, and I'm just showing that everything, we can fail at this, and I'm not even good at technical terms, you know. So I'd be literally like, you know, that little button that sort of turns and twists, and you know, that comes out. That's the one you're going to use. And they look at me and go, oh, thank God, another one like me, you know.
Brilliant.
And sometimes I have a colleague of mine here in Sweden, and she lives just outside the city, and we are this is the third year in a row. We are doing a combined workshop for a couple of days.
Okay.
And she does a lot of fairy tale kind of portraits out in the forest. And I do my fine art. We usually at a castle, or we rent like a mansion.
Nice.
And I do my fine art portraits inside. And then the group goes outside with her in the woods, in the forest. So it's a perfect combination.
Mm.
But she's so technical. She's so good at all the words and the right terms. So when I'm standing there having my lecture and I look at her and go, Maria, she goes, the name is blah, blah. And I go, thank you, Maria. And I kind of...
A walking textbook for you.
She is. And I'm doing my Photoshop and I'm going, I keep forgetting. I just did it the other night. I keep forgetting. Oh, yeah, that's right. This is... See, I already forgot it. I don't even remember what that was. The little Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah, the healing brush. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. That's one I always forget. So I'm standing going... And I have to sort of hover over it with my Photoshop glasses. Yeah. Healing brush tool, spot healing brush tool. And I think that, and what I enjoy about teaching is when I can see people looking at me going, oh my God, that's so funny. You're like me. And I've had a couple of those throughout the years when I realized that those big photographer names aren't perfect.
Mm.
And that gave me the confidence and the courage to go out there and tell people I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
But I can do this really well.
Absolutely. And I think it's giving people the courage to try things in workshops as well. I mean, when I started doing some group workshops myself, I had people coming who were used to going to very big workshops, lots and lots of people, where the person would essentially set something up, and then everybody else would join a queue, go through, take a photo and sit down. And that was basically it. So I said to them, right, okay, I'm going to show you this. So I would demonstrate the lighting. And then I was really mean. I changed all the settings and all the lights. I moved the lights around the room. And I said, right, now it's your turn. And then,
what a great way to learn, though.
It's like, oh, I was like, you have been paying attention, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, that's kind of evil but good.
And that way I knew when they left that they could actually do it, not just have a picture of it on their camera going, oh yeah, I took a picture with so-and-so's lighting setup. And people are not used to working like that. They're not used to instructors necessarily really challenging them. I mean, you get some great instructors at some international conventions, but all too often on sort of the smaller local levels, it's just someone who's got something to vaguely work, and then they just show everyone else and they repeat it, and that's it.
Yeah.
So
that's a good way to do it. I might steal that method a little bit, Joe. I have an upcoming workshop in both Finland and Oslo. And Norway, I've been going to once or twice a year for many years now. I love to go to Norway. I have a lot of friends in Norway that are photographers and just enjoy coming over there. But it also puts the pressure on me to come up with something new.
Yeah.
Because I do not want to go over there once or twice a year and repeat myself. So
no.
There's like, oh, you want to come over here and do a little workshop like we did last year? I go, sure. Yeah. Oh, gosh, what am I going to talk about? How I'm going to do this differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so that could be
get them to do some of the work like that. Yeah, that will appeal to your slightly naughty side, I think. There, you'll enjoy that.
Thank you for giving me that tip.
Even if it's just as you walk away, you turn the power down or something, and don't tell them you've done it. They take a photo and go, "Oh, that doesn't look right." That kind of problem solving, I think, is how people learn much more effectively than just, okay, if I'm going to do this picture, I need to be at this setting on my camera. This light goes to that setting. Yeah. I need that size and umbrella with that kind of, you know, it's so formulaic then. And you think, if you can understand light, you can understand the principles, you can take great photos with all sorts of things.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't have to be the latest and the greatest stuff. So
which is excellent for me to think about. I really, really appreciate you mentioning this right now, because I do tend to feel like I want to add something to it, because I'm most, like you said in the beginning, I'm mostly known for my fine art portraiture.
Yeah.
And they want me to talk about artistic portraits. And how many ways can I go through this? You know, I want to add some more elements, and and which is good, because I keep challenging myself to do something different. But it's also, when it comes to workshops, not just talk about colors and props and hand holdings and hand posing, which is my, you know, expertise, but also bringing in another level of understanding, like you said, about the light and stuff. So good. Very good.
I think if people can work stuff out, I think that it stays with them for longer. You know, it involves a bit more of the brain than just the kind of watch and repeat. So it can feel a bit cruel to begin with, especially if they've come in a bit dopey and haven't paid enough attention.
Yeah.
So, okay, now it's your go.
Yep.
What do I do here? But I mean, for me, I've got a small studio, so I've come up with ways of creating the lighting that I want without having the space and the kind of modifiers all the time that I want to be able to use. So I've got sort of big white sheets of foam core board that I use in place of another light source, because I haven't got room to put a light there, so I'll use it, bounce some light from another one. So sometimes one light is doing like three jobs. you get quite creative that way. And
You do. And I didn't have a large studio from the beginning. So I had very low ceilings, and I was not able to, you know, photograph large groups. So I also turned to, you know, learn Photoshop quite early, just so I can, you know, stitch together large groups, you know, whatever.
Did you get them all sitting down to begin with as well, I suppose, with the low ceiling? No one standing up.
Not really that low, but definitely a challenge with the lighting. But we got to start somewhere, you know.
Absolutely, yeah.
And make it work.
So, I mean, you've taught in quite a few countries now. What's your sort of feeling for the sort of standard of photography, and for how much people want to learn?
Well, I think the interest of learning is definitely there wherever you go in the world, because people show up to those places because they want to learn.
Yeah.
And I think what's interesting is, because online right now, we have so many possibilities. There is anything. And I go online when I have a problem or a Photoshop thing that I was like, how do I do that? And then I go to YouTube, I find tutorials. And that's one way of learning. And it's out there for anybody. But I think as a community, or when you're really interested, when you meet with people, when you're in a setting where you have live body, so to speak, and you bounce off each other energy and ideas, and problems comes up, just like we just mentioned, and that just gives it another level of learning. And I think that that's still thriving, and it feels like people are still interested in meeting that way.
Great.
So that's one part of it. And as far as the standard of portrait, I think it's good. I think the knowledge, once again, is out there, and people are learning and they are interested in it. Then if you look back to way, way, way before, it's always going to be those who levels up and those who are happy to. I mean, I have colleagues in town that hasn't really upped their game in, I would say, 15 years.
Yeah.
There's no changes. They're still making a decent living. So, but for them, it's not the passion to grow as an artist.
Yeah, it's a bit like, you were saying earlier, you get bored with just doing the same thing, just doing the routine and so on. And you like to be that developing yourself. I suppose for some people, it's a bit like for me as a commercial photographer, you get some people who love just doing the same thing over and over and over, because they can shoot quite quickly and they can make quite a lot of money quite quickly. That sort of thing, I just find so boring.
But that's the personality.
Exactly.
Why,
yeah. You know? So for them, they don't necessarily always want to keep pushing themselves. And for others like me, I never feel like I've learned enough.
No.
It's different.
That's wonderful, because, and I try to say that and explain that sometimes when we are talking about photography, that whatever is in you as a person and your personality is what's going to shape your career.
Yeah.
It's if you find that connection with who you are and how you work, you will be happy.
Yeah.
Because it's not for everybody to find the perfection or go for perfection or chase it or develop all the time. Some people comes up to this, they learn the basic skills, they get paid for their, and then they're happy. And and they're not going to win awards. They're not going to be, you know, coming that way, but they do make a decent living, actually enjoying shooting, you know, with a camera, making portraits, people buying it, done.
Yeah.
And then we have the other group that are not as sane.
Can't think who you're talking about.
That sort of like, I want more, more. What can I learn this week?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's got to be something we can talk about to somebody. I don't know.
Maybe we need therapy. Yeah.
Maybe we need therapy. So, yeah, I think the levels are... This is as it always has been throughout. It's like some people are going to push it and they're going to reach those levels. And we see that and we think it's amazing. Mm. If you go to competitions like in London for SWPP or in Vegas for WPPI, and you can see the amount of creativity and the passion that goes into those competition prints. And I am such a fan of print competition because the print and the final end is that evidence of the craftsmanship. Because today when you have the all the online possibilities, some people are amazing at their Instagram work and they put out and they can be like superstars on Instagram. But if they're going to print that file, it might not look as amazing. Mm-hmm. So for me, the completion of the craftsmanship is to actually to make be able to make a beautiful print. That's why I think print competitions and the few that are still around are so important.
Yeah, they have they have an important role in the industry in helping people to maintain standards and you know, giving people new ideas and things to aspire to. And I think it's important that we do maintain those standards in there. I think there's a lot of tools that we have in photography now, and they just seem to grow by the day, what we can use to create things. And there's that little bit of a risk that we potentially get lazy and think, oh, I'll just fix it afterwards, or, oh, I'll just...
So I do that. You know. I become very good at Photoshop because I'm lazy sometimes.
Yeah, you have to kind of decide where you want to put the work in. Am I going to do it in the studio with the light, moving it 2 inches to the left, 2 inches to the right? Or am I going to do it in Photoshop with brushes and things like that? So, you know, it's a choice for your workflow, how you want to be. But I think sometimes people do rely a bit too much on hoping that they can fix it afterwards.
Of course. And that is definitely one thing that we really like talking about is get it right in camera. And the things that you can miss sometimes could be a strand of hair or whatever. That's okay. But the basics of the lighting skills and all of that is really needs to be there. Mm. I think, like you said, you know, taking care of the standards and trying to, you know, have that as a community, professional photographers coming up to that standard just for everybody's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we're all offering something more than a customer would be able to just do themselves. I think, you know, as a professional, that's kind of our role is to be able to give them something that they can't do themselves, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
So with your fine art sort of portraiture work, you said you've said before that you were kind of inspired by paintings, sort of more classical portraiture. What is it about that appeals to you? Can you sort of describe why that interests you?
Sure. Well, actually, I wanted to paint when I was younger. Mm-hmm. For me, my mom was a very good like sketch artist, and she can draw very beautiful pictures. Mm-hmm. And I was inspired by her, and I tried to do it, and I can't. I have like no talent in my hand, literally. I pretty much suck at it. And I tried. I'm really good at, you know, drawing eyes and horses' heads. That's it. That's where it stopped.
Okay.
But no, so for me, that wasn't a basic interest. And then I'm just thinking that I always enjoyed beauty. Mm-hmm. And it can be literally anything. It can be beauty of a small, tiny flower in the forest. It can be beauty of a late night sky. That's something that it's pleasing, and I think I take it to heart. Mm-hmm. It can be a beautiful person, mm-hmm. personality-wise. It can be a face that's beautiful or hair that's beautiful. I tend to stop and tell people, oh my God, your hair is amazing. I just tend to pay attention to the beauty that is around. And looking at old master's paintings, I am not fond of those who are a little bit more grotesque. And there are maybe evoking emotions that people go, oh, this is so strong and powerful. And I go, ugh. And then I go, I look at this, when you're at these huge museums and you have the sculptures, Nike, is that in the Louvre? The big bust with the, I think it's Nike.
Okay.
That statue is called, but they have made this fabric
marble.
Marble, thank you. And you make this fabric looks like it's flowing, and you stand there going, it's so beautiful. How do they do that? Or you get the big paintings, and you can see the brushstrokes and the. So I think it's an awe for the talent of people creating that from what they had possible for them. And also it's just so pleasing, and it's just something that I can just rest in. I think that's where the inspiration comes from.
So you like images that you feel comfortable sitting with then, so something dark like a Caravaggio or something like that, where not so much your thing.
No, I don't. There's a picture I see in my mind when an old man is like literally biting some other heads off. I don't know. That's just something that came up. I go, no, no. And that's a problem for me sometimes when it comes to competition.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I talked to a lot of people, that some dear colleagues of mine that are amazing at storytelling. Like take Hannah Nerett.
Yeah.
That is amazing at storytelling. And she just, and Kelly Brown. They have that, they can tap into emotions that people, when they see the image, they go, oh man. I remember Kelly did an image a few years back that I was like, why didn't I come up with that? When she had her, you know, she has boxers and she had one of their dog and laying on, there's two dog pillows, and one of her dogs is laying on one pillow, looking over to the other pillow where it was an urn. An urn. So there was no dog there. It was an urn. And I go, it is such a simple idea, beautifully executed. And I go, why can't I find a, the darkness? I feel like I can make pretty pictures, beautiful flowers.
Oh, well, we need some of that, I think. Yeah. I mean, I think my default tends to be towards the darker side, I think.
We need everything.
We need a bit of both. And again, it's coming through your personality. It's the photography or whatever. Whatever art form is an extension of yourself. It's expressing yourself, your own view of something. So that should be different to somebody else's. It shouldn't be identical.
Yeah, that's true.
Identical.
It's true. I'm not saying I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm just saying that there is definitely room for improvement. I just need to dip into my darkness.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So when you're shooting, members of the public, I suppose the darker side doesn't really tend to come into it so much then. They tend to want to look a bit more pretty anyway. But yeah, so when you're shooting sort of members of the public for like a fine art portrait, you very much talk about on your website about making it an experience for them. And I think that that's something, especially when portrait photographers are starting out, that they can kind of forget that it's not just about the picture. It's about more than that. So what sort of things do you suggest that portrait photographers can do? And what sort of things do you like to do to make it more of an experience rather than just all about getting a photo?
That is definitely one thing that I care a lot about. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to connection and to listen and to hear what your client want, need, type of person they are, and just connect with that without losing yourself as an artist, because it's not a matter of just doing whatever the client wants, because this is a collaboration, and the best of collaboration is like when we meet, they say what they want and what they're coming from, and I've had clients talking about their journey, if they've been through something awful or some trauma, and then they come out and they want to celebrate this with images, then boom, we have that connection. And I need to tap into what can make them really enjoy this experience.
Yeah.
And then you have some people that is like a tough cookie, and she's like, yeah, I just got divorced, I'm feeling hot, you know, I'm in the best shape I am, and I'm just gonna rock this, I'm gonna make some sexy pictures. Then you're in that, and then I connect with that mode. That mood, and I'll just go with that, and we have fun and we upbeat, we play some rock and roll music in the studio. And then other times you need to be soothing.
Yeah.
And so I think I am pretty adaptable in my personality to whoever is in the room, and make sure I connect with them on whatever level they're at. And then I'll create something that we both have agreed on. This is what they want to aim for. So the professionalism is there, but also the personal connection. And just yesterday, what day is it today? Yesterday, I had a very beautiful experience. We both were crying. Literally, both at the reveal and in the beginning of the session, because I did a really tight, it was a personal branding business headshots,
right,
where she needed multiple images. And when I do this, I have a consultation first, and then they come in, I have a hair and makeup artist, and we, you know, make them feel beautiful, and we make sure they're happy. And then we have several different clothing changes. And then I do a boom, straight, raw, out of the camera reveal session and ordering session. And when she had decided on her final images, and I've already done the consultation where I looked at her website and we planned this to suit her business needs.
Yeah.
And when she had decided on that final image, and I said, this is so beautiful. This is, and she was like, this is going to be perfect for this and this page when I talk about this. And I can feel tear, and I go, you know what? This is my why.
Yeah.
This is what, because this is not going to make me famous. I'm not going to win awards on these images, but I see somebody sitting there being so happy. And she was quite insecure because she's like gained a lot of weight and she wasn't really in a place. So she goes, don't worry about it. I'll make sure you look the best, fabulous you, whatever. And she sat there and she goes, you made me feel so comfortable. You made me feel really beautiful today. And these are going to be magic for my website. I'm so happy I took this decision. Tears in my eyes, tears in her eyes. And I go, this is it. This is what why I do this.
So that's
awards, no fame, you know.
Yeah, it's just something totally different to that, isn't it? It's a special connection that you get in that way, and knowing that you've made a difference for somebody through doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes, okay, if you're the sort of person who is entirely about money and everything you do is all about earning money, then you might approach it slightly differently. But I think that there's really a place for ditching the formulae and really thinking about serving the client, especially when you're working in a very personal way like this with portraits. So instead of just saying, oh yeah, I make it an experience by giving them a glass of wine and offering them a piece of cake afterwards, you think, well,
oh, I'll do that too. on certain portraits we do have a glass of wine and some snacks, but
yeah,
you know, but that's, it's more to it, it's more
yeah,
to it.
That is a thing to offer, but that is not the experience. It's the connection with the person around it, and it's you serving their needs as a person when they're coming in needing one particular type of photo, or they're in a different place and they need a photo to help them come out of that place. All that sort of thing is far more effective and will get them coming back, much more so than a piece of cake and a glass of wine will.
Yeah, absolutely. And make sure that we have, and I have a stylist that also are in tuned with that can adapt a little bit to the situation. Because if she wasn't as smart, you know, and flexible, because she can meet all types of people and I can hear her, because it's not always I'm standing right next to her as she's doing the hair and makeup. And I can hear her, how can she connect and how she can change the topics and talk to them. She's also part of the business and the part of the experience.
Yeah.
And many, many times my clients call me or email me or do an Instagram post about the situation where they mention me and my stylist. You and your stylist, Elin, made me feel so special. And it was so much fun to work with the both of you. Now, isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely, that
we're a team at that time. I mean, she does only work for me when I bring her in on commission, you know, when I have a job. Mm-hmm. So, but we're still such a team and people are really enjoying the work, the experience with us both.
Yeah.
Laughing, crying, talking about deep stuff, opening up.
Yeah.
You know, if it's, you know, my stylist, her daughter has autism, and she has no problem. Yeah, I know I have a problem. My daughter has, and you know, and then suddenly you go deeper than just doing hair and makeup, and that's a part of the experience, you know, for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's being able to do the right thing for the right person, really, rather than just forcing everybody through the same way of doing it. I think what I sometimes find disappointing is that people want to find a quick way, you read the word hack around a lot these days. Yeah. Have you got the latest photography hack for making your business generate X thousand pounds a month? And you think, stop looking for shortcuts and start connecting, you know, start finding what you're passionate about and connect, you know, connect with your clients in that sort of way. Don't just copy someone else's template all the time. It might work a bit, but.
I know. And I think we're all fighting within ourselves about this whole social media must, and you have to market yourself. You have to do this. I've been going through a frustrating period that I feel like my engagements, and I know that it's just like that for so many photographers right now, that the engagement has really gone down so low. And it's sort of, I'm not saying I'm not going to be on social media. Yes, I am. I am reaching clients and students, and it's out there. It's a part of my marketing. But I decided a few months ago, that, oh my God, I'm just going to push myself into networking, being out there, talking about my work, bringing me to the table, not just through a phone, but also be out there. So I know if I'm out at a business situation where I have at a company and I meet somebody and I can sense or whatever, they say, what else do you do? Oh, I'd be like, oh, I do this and I do that. So I'm like a working commercial for myself. And it has actually generated a bit more right now than the social media has for me.
Because it's, you know, looking at like your Instagram, you've got sort of 15,000 followers on there, roughly like that. And people can sometimes assume, oh, you've got great numbers like that. Well, you must be getting loads of inquiries through there. Does it generate a lot of business for you?
It is. Like I said, I think it goes in waves.
Yeah.
A year ago, last spring, I was fully booked. I had about 2, sometimes 3 fine art portraits a week. Almost burnt out. I mean, it was just so crazy. It was because I had a campaign going and I was posting it on social media and it blew up.
Right.
I did not do a lot of advertisement. I did not, but it was just giving me fully booked. Now, the whole economy changed it. I mean, we all know that 2023 was so weird.
Yeah.
And this fall, that kind of line of income just like, and I go, hello. Hello. Where did everybody go?
Yes.
You know? So, and I try to post and I try to do campaigns and it didn't bite. So I was like, what am I doing wrong? And I knew my product was solid and good. And I know I'm not a budget, you know, deal, but it's not like crazy. It's not like buying a car or anything.
So
I just had to switch my focus and go into what else can I offer and start, you know, pushing my headshots and my business and just being flexible like that. And like I said, choosing where online I started pushing it. I'm still keeping up with the finer portrait. And I think it's just, like I said, it's going to go in waves. And that particular client group right now is struggling.
Yeah.
They are struggling with their finances, but there is still other groups out there that is available that has, you know, can afford to invest in me. And so now I'm pushing towards that goal. And so I think a part of, you know, staying in business is being flexible.
Absolutely. I think, you know, people can look at you and they can see that you've been very focused to get where you are with the sort of level of your work. But you're not focused to the point that you're not flexible. You've got both in there. You've got that focus that enables you to achieve excellence, but you've got the flexibility that enables your business to survive the peaks and the troughs, to go with the weather of the business, if you like, of the economy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need a little bit of both, don't you? That kind of resilience and persistence, but at the same time thinking, okay, there's no point banging my head against a brick wall here. We need to just shift direction.
Right. And like, I've been in business for 27 years.
Yeah.
I'm an oldie in this business. And I've been through a lot of things in business, and I also never had only one niche. Because going back to the I don't love routines thing. So I've always had a corporate side of portraits, and then I had the private side of portraits, and they have been working beautifully combined. And right now, the way life is in the world economics, that the business side right now, it's more profitable for me to, you know, jump in. I still have a few portrait clients coming in doing fine art portraits. It's not as much. And I am not going to lower my prices to suit the economy for that type of images I'm doing, because I know that they are worthy of the price tag that's on it. So I'm just waiting for the clients to find me or pushing that out, you know, in social media. That's not where my heaviest attention is right now. It's still there, but I'm spending my time and money to push for the headshots and the personal branding part of my business, which I enjoy so much. Like I said, the client I had yesterday, it was such a beautiful, you know, shoot.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, there's another important lesson there for people who are thinking of moving more towards a higher end business rather than a budget one, is high end businesses. If you think of sports cars and things like that, if there's a little dip in the economy, they don't suddenly rush to do their cars at half price or something.
No,
you know?
Nope.
But so many photographers, it's like, oh, I'm losing the number of customers I've got at the moment, I better do a deal. And that can actually end up lowering the perceived value of what you're doing, rather than pivoting and offering a slightly different product instead, something which can be done cheaper because it's a different product, because it doesn't entail all the things that the other one does. So yeah, rather than going, oh, panic, quick, let's have a 30% off sale or something.
We all feel the panic, though.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that I'm above feeling the panic. Oh, my God. There's so many emotions going on, and you feel worthless and useless, and you have no confidence. You'll be like, what's wrong with me? You know? And then you go, wait a minute, you know? And then you're like, snap out of it. And what can I do? And just like you said, offering something different. So I've been talking about this for quite some time right now, but I'm like comparing it to the designer brand. Let's take Ralph Lauren. Which is a big designer brand and cost a lot. But, you know, they have their Lauren by Ralph Lauren, which is mid-range, still a little bit of an investment. But I mean, I have a purse from Lauren by Ralph Lauren. You know, I can afford it if I want to invest a little bit in a nice purse. So that's what I thought, you know, and so that's what I've done. Keeping my prices for my fine art portraits, that experience. But if you want to do portraits, you can do a classic portrait, which I always offered, but now I'm pushing it a little bit more. So you do a classical portrait. And if you're interested in the fine art look, we can still talk about the clothing you wear, how I light it, what kind of background I have. And then if you want me to do the fine art editing, you just, I just upsell that a little bit when it comes to the boxes.
Yeah. And it's again, it's small variations on a skill set where you're already very strong. Sometimes people think, oh, my portrait studio is not doing so great. What shall I do? Oh, products. And you think, but that's a totally different thing. It's like, you know, I'll jump from products as, oh, that's not doing so well. Oh, well, what shall I do? Oh, weddings. You know, it's, you know, people jump a long way. Sometimes you only need to just move a small distance and just slightly change.
Tweak it. Tweak it a little bit and see, and find new ways of how you market. Like I said, I've been, the networking thing, I mean, I always love to talk about my photography, but I have to say that I've been kind of comfortable staying home at night, not going out there whenever I had an invitation, going, now I'm a little bit more on my toes, and I go, sure, I'll be there. And I come, I show up, and I'm having my business hat on, and I go, hey, what do you do? Well, you know, and then I boom. And so that was, for me, a shift of mindset in how I market. Yes, I'm still on Instagram. Yes, I'm on LinkedIn and I'm on Facebook. But the networking thing has now, for me, grown much more than it had a year and a half ago.
Yeah. It's finding the right channels, and these things do change. Trends change. People mm-hmm. might be with one form of social media for a few years, and then the trend changes, and then they go somewhere else. And it's understanding where your client base are as well, isn't it? Because you're likely to be drawing from people who are within a reasonably easy reach of your studio in the main. Yeah. You might have some people who will travel a long way, but you're not going to expect the majority of your clients to be coming a big distance.
No.
So whereas if you're doing something like I do with products, a lot of the time I don't even see the client face to face at all.
Right.
I get products sent in the post, you know.
Oh. There you go. Yeah.
Quite often. So I don't advertise or network so much locally because with the small businesses, I'm not really the right solution for them.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I'm looking at advertising more broadly and further around the UK and also for people from outside the UK because you know, that's my market. And I think as well, people, when you're thinking about what channels you're going to use, when you do social media, you cannot do all of them. It's just too much.
No. Yeah.
You know, you can't go to all of the networking meetings that are around and so on and so forth. It's choosing ones where you connect with it. It's choosing ones where you can express your business, your personality to others, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And for me, the like last spring when I was so booked with my fine apportes, I did actually have people coming long way, but it's not Sweden long way. It's like 5 hours drive.
Yeah.
That's a long way for us. But that has also gone down a little bit right now. So me shifting a little bit on how I do things, one of the things that I just before I went to Vegas lifted it in social media, but I haven't pushed it through. I need to be more consistent. And when I come up with some new idea, sometimes I go, oh, this is a great new idea. Then I post about it once and I go, and I don't get the engagement I think I deserve. And then I go, oh, it didn't work. And just the other day, I was listening to some marketing tips and I go, you need to be consistent. I go, so good at that. No, that's something I need to. So I'm going to push out that I can actually go to my clients. But I'm going to make that super exclusive and they're going to have to buy a package that is quite an investment. But there is still people who might jump onto that.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to give it a try because if I get that amount of investment, I don't mind getting in my car and take a day or so on driving, you know, back and forth, whatever. Go up one day, shoot one day and then stay over and go back. That's fine. Mm. That'd be a part of the investment. And just to meet those possible clients that has the money these days and that also, you know, are interested and values what I do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had somebody see that I'd done a photo shoot for like a luxury self-catering windmill, a holiday home. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and they were doing up a windmill themselves in a different part of the country. And it was like that. We drove over there, we stayed, we did a shoot over a couple of days and then came back, you know? So it's sometimes clients want to do that. They want to travel. They want what you've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to sell them the experience that they can come to my house. And we have a Michelin star restaurant in our town. And I was like, oh, have you heard about this restaurant, this hotel? And they go, no. And I go, yeah, you can make it a weekend. You can stay over. And some people just actually get into that. Now, you're going to have to follow me because I forgot to take my plug in.
You're running out of batteries.
But I'm running out of batteries. So join me for a tour in the house, like once again, how we are not perfect. Yay! Sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we when you were talking about with Instagram or other social media, when you post an image on there and you don't get that kind of response, you have that enthusiasm. You think, I've got a great idea or I've got a great image.
Yeah,
and
you
put it out there and you're going through the feed to see if you've got any likes or whatever. And next to it, somebody's posted an image of their cat. And there's like 100 likes on there and people go, oh, this is amazing. This is fantastic. And you've got like 3 and you go, oh, why did I bother? You know, but yes, it is that consistency. And I think there's also the fact that people do get kind of used to seeing the sort of things that we produce. And they're not always going to be quite so engaged as we'd like them to be, because it's like, oh, yeah, we know she does that, or we know he does that kind of thing. People don't always click the button, unfortunately. And as a professional photographer, when you see some of the pictures that get shared and likes and everything on there, you can think, it's not fair.
I know. And I think it's so important that you do not compare yourself too much to others, because it's always going to be somebody who does it, like we say, better or more successful. But if you can just look at your own stuff, and it's hard, it doesn't come naturally, because naturally we do compare ourselves. But I think if you're conscious about that behavior, that it's going to make you a little bit happier as a person if you do not engage in, oh my God, she's doing this. And just look at other people's stuff and get inspired.
Yeah.
It goes, you know, that's a cool way to do it. Maybe I can implement, but not comparing to where as you put yourself down. It is, I think, way too many people do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, if you hang your self-esteem on these things and things like social media, it can be very bad for your mental health. And you can keep going back thinking, have I had another like yet? And that's not a good place to be.
No,
that sort of thing doesn't help you to run a business well. You do the social media because it's part of your marketing.
Sure.
That's fine. But if you start to get too connected to it with your own feelings of self-worth, and you're on a slippery slope, I think then.
Yeah. That's not good for anyone.
No, absolutely not. So, I mean, when you're doing your training that you've got, sort of training other photographers, and you're doing online and in person, aren't you? I think so. Do some classes online. Yeah. So what have you got coming up in the next sort of few months that you could tell people about, where they might be able to either meet you for a one personal training or see you online? What sort of things have you got coming up?
Well, I have, like I mentioned, there is a workshop in Finland. If you're anywhere close to Finland next month, connect with me on social media. That works great in that area. And that is a fine art workshop. So it's going to be a full day, models, shooting and editing. Fun day. And then I have in Oslo in Norway, in the middle of May, there is going to be at a big camera store. I've been visiting them before, together with Canon. And we will do a 3-hour workshop first, and then we will do a lecture like in the evening. So that's two live ones. Oh no, I also have with my friend, like I mentioned, you know, we have at the castle at the end of May.
Yeah.
So we're going to have like a 2-day workshop where we stay and live. It's not the castle this time. It's like a mansion.
Only a mansion, not a castle.
Yeah, we skipped the castle this year. This is a beautiful place. And we're going to be hanging out. And we have a couple of spots still available for that one. And that's amazing. If we get international people coming, we will do it in English. Mm-hmm. If we're all Swedes, we're doing it in Swedish. So we are totally flexible that way. We always said that. Mm-hmm. And so those are the two closest ones. I'm also coming to Coventry.
Right.
For the Click Live in June.
Yeah.
So those are the live speaking engagements that are planned. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can squeeze any more in there now. There should be plenty to handle.
I'll keep you busy. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And then online, I do not have anything planned right now as far as group classes. I just finished on Wednesday. I had an editing class. And other than that, it might pop up something new. I'm not sure. But if there's anybody out there who actually wants a one-to-one, I do that quite often. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because we do customize that.
Ah, great.
To whatever need people have. And sometimes I edit my stuff just to get them hooked on the basics and inspired. Mm-hmm. But I also have more evolved photographers that wants me to take their images. And I work on them and I tell them, this is what I would do with this image and so on. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I can do one-on-one workshops in the studio. Mm. I had this Swedish photographer, amazing woman. She lives in Montana, but she has family a couple hours away from me where I live. So about a year and a half ago, she was on vacationing in Sweden and she called me up and we set up her on a one-to-one day workshop. Mm. All about her, bringing in models. She told me what she wanted to learn more about. We had a business part of it, price list part of it, and then we did the shooting and the editing. I was just so great. Mm. So all of that, I'm always open to listen in mm-hmm. and hear what people need. And then we'll talk what kind of package we can make.
Mm, excellent. Yeah. You know, one thing I quite often like to ask my guests is if they could photograph anywhere or anyone, and what would it be? But it sounds like you've already got some dream locations for those castles and mansions, you know. It sounds like you've done it already.
I don't know. Sometimes locations can be intimidating too. I have to say that yeah. that there's one castle we've been a couple of years, and it's like the interior is quite challenging. Mm. It's kind of those dark castles where you'd be like, where am I going to get that kind of feeling? So locations, I'm not so sure. More like sometimes when you see these on Instagram, these abandoned buildings.
Oh, yeah.
That are covered like with greenery and and those get my juices flowing. You know, it's like, wow. And for as far as people goes, it's kind of hard. I'm a big fan of Dolly Parton. That would be great to do a fine art shoot with Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton.
She's always so
Dolly Parton in an abandoned warehouse. There you go.
Yeah, with a fine art kind of a feel, like a different type of outfit, and making her like a painting. That would be cool.
That would be quite a project, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Excellent. So when are we? When's that happening then?
Yeah, I know. Just got to find her people to talk to my people, and then we'll work it out.
Excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So where can people keep up with your work and keep an eye out for the Dolly Parton photo?
There you go. Well, I'm on Instagram, mm-hmm. and it's Martina_Wormfelt with a W, mm-hmm. and I'm on LinkedIn, Martina Wormfelt. Facebook is mostly Swedish, but it's the same there. Martina Wormfelt. I think it's actually my studio name on there, M Studio. But if you go for, since my last name is so mm-hmm. Not very common, if you go searching for Martina Wormfelt, and if you put two dots over the A, mm-hmm. you'll definitely find a lot of places. I kept the two dots when I rebuilt my logo mm-hmm. because I figure if Häagen-Dazs can, so can I.
Absolutely. Lovely comparison there, I think. Yeah,
I know. Häagen-Dazs kept their two dots over the A, so is Martina Wormfelt.
Brilliant, love it. Thank you very much for being a guest on the podcast today, Martina. We've really appreciated having you on.
It's been so much fun, Joe. I'm so happy you asked, and I'm just glad to be here.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for listening to the Focused Professional podcast.